You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Making waves.
Welcome to Making Waves, yet another episode here. My name is Justin, and I'm along with my host, Chad. Tonight, we really want to welcome someone who's got a very unique story. Not only is he the vocalist, songwriter, and frontman for the band Art of Dying, he's also a culinary CEO, and we'll get into that much later. Please, everyone, welcome Johnny Hetherington.
What's up? John, I think that's the first time I've been called a culinary CEO, just so you know. I just want to throw that out there. That's a new, I'll have to add that to the business card. It's great.
Well, I just kind of go on with who you are, man. You run that brand, and I can't wait to get into it with you. Cause we have some really great ideas, regarding your product that I don't want to give away just yet. Anyway, listen, thank you for taking the time. We know you're taking some valuable time away from hockey season, and we appreciate that. That's right. Go Oilers. Well, listen, man, it's been a hot minute since we've seen you guys, obviously on the cruise. And so 2020 has been what it is. And before we went on the air here, I wanted to really tell you how great the Vices and Virtues song is that you guys put out before Christmas. And if this is the intro into what you guys are going to produce next, I'm looking so forward to it.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's it's a funny song from our history. You know, Vices and Virtues is obviously the album we did back in 2012 with Warner Brothers, and that song never actually made that record at that time. So it's kind of nice over the holidays to be able to finish it and put it out. So yeah, it's great.
Well, the amazing thing about
only kept your vocals. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Justin, but I don't want to stray away from that because it sounds like you only kept the vocal in the background vocal, right? And everything else you kind of like redid, or how did it work?
Yeah, you know, it's this whole COVID situation has given us a lot more time to work from our homes. And Tavis and I have been working on a lot of music together, just building it from our homes and bouncing it back and forth to each other. So yeah, we had the ghost of the song, just the structure. And then I think, I can't remember if we did keep the original vocal. Maybe we did. So the vocals from a couple years ago, I think I sang it in a coffee shop down the street here that I usually work in. And then Tavis relayed in all the guitars, and yeah, we just kind of built it up from ground zero again. And it's always been like, I really wanted it on that record back in 2012, you know, cause it was written in that time. So I think you can kind of almost tell that it's kind of got that same thing that Die Trying and Get Through This kind of had at that time in our lives, but it's special to put it out now.
Awesome. Yeah, I was going to say it's very vibrant song, and I think it's such a great springboard into this year for you guys, because that way, you know, a lot of bands that put albums out, that we've talked to other guests who put albums out right as this thing hit, and they have to sit on it for a long time. So I figured this is just a great song to lead into whatever you guys are going to do next. I mean, I know Armageddon still has a lot of legs on it.
Yeah, it feels like Armageddon just came out too, which is right. We're always thinking about these things, you know, like, do we put out more now because this album just came out? And I think that sort of thinking is just falling by the wayside for us, and we're more of the you know, like, let's get music out as often as we can now. So we actually have another song end of April that we're gonna launch, so it'll just be a follow-up to Vices and Virtues.
That's great. Is that also unreleased? You said unreleased music as well from the past, or are you guys now virtually actually writing together?
So this is the song that we wrote in Kale's basement in Ontario. Crazy story. He moved into this brand new house that was brand new, super old, like 150 years old or something. And just Kale, if you know Kale, he's never... he doesn't buy into any of this crap. You know what I mean? Like, he's a level-headed dude. But he moved in, and some weird things happened. And he was like, I don't know, guys, what do you think? Like, is this place kind of haunted or something? What's up? And on that note, he said, I got to go down and play at the bar tonight, but you guys just hang at the house and hang out. So we're like hanging in his haunted house, the whole band. And we had a couple of wobbly pops and just, you know, picked up the guitars and got a little crazy, had a little seance. And we were like trying to like, you know, get, it was kind of like, yeah, let's get this shit rolling. And we ended up getting a little crazy, wrote an entire song, which to this day, we're pretty sure we wrote it with a ghost or with like, I remember vividly tearing the side, like I felt this rush, tore the side of a box of beer in half, grabbed a Sharpie and wrote all the lyrics straight down the beer box to the end without stopping. And the song was done. And we all said, that's spooky shit. Like, why did that happen? I've never written like that. So it was just, it was crazy. So, and then we started playing it on the road. It wasn't on any of our records, but we did play it at the Odd show, just break it out. Cause it's kind of a crowd participation song. It's a lot of fun. So some people have heard it. It's called That High. Some people have heard it on tour, but no one's ever heard it recorded. So it was another little gem we got to dig out.
There's so many things that you just said, and I'm sure Justin's going to touch on them. But
yeah, I got one
story. I'm going to let him go. But you have a very interesting story that we'd like to unhatch.
One thing you're talking about, the idea of ghosts and spirits. I mean, music's an energy, right? You throw it out there and pulsating waves and you're meeting contrasting another energy in the form of a specter or whatever's in the house. So it makes complete sense. And in a lot of ways, I'm sure that the ghost is like, that kind of gives them a breath. I mean, I'm not one of these guys either. I buy into it a little bit. Why not? I live in New Orleans, for crying out loud. This stuff is legion down here. But the idea that the spirit could be some sort of muse for you guys totally makes sense, considering you're basically just dealing with an invisible force that becomes music to us, maybe to them too. So that's a really great story. Chad, I don't know what you have to add to that, but real quick before I Chad would do that. So a new song coming out in April. In a lot of ways, there's a lot of benefit to what's going on right now because bands can certainly work a single and massage that for a little while until they get to another one and another one. And you always keep the fans engaged, but you don't burn yourselves out. And then, you can really work, really don't have to work to where I have to create 10, 12 songs, you know, and it becomes a single product that everyone burns through. Now when they can really sit there and like kind of basically marinate in these one song and then the next one. So, and they'll become fully aware of your catalog by the time you actually get back on the road. So it's really benefit to that.
Totally. We're having a lot of fun with it. That's all I know is just, it's easy. It's fun. You know, when you said it, you know, when you go to attempt to make a record, you're usually coming in with 16, 18 songs and whittling that down to 10 or 12. And it's a process, you know, like, Vice of Virtues, we made it over 3 or 4 months in Los Angeles, and it was just one of the best times of our lives, but it was such an intense process. Right. When we made Rise Up, we did that one in New Jersey, and it was the same thing. We went and stayed at David Bendes' studio for 3 months, and it was, you know, tears and fights and you know, just hugs and like all around again, and people are, it was just crazy. And this is so light. It's just like, oh, we know what we're doing. Let's just lay this to tape. And it usually takes a night. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even, there's more to it than that. But like, you can lay down a really great vocal in an evening. You can lay down a guitar track in a morning. And before you know it, you've got something that's pretty listenable. And then, you know, you do massage it a bit and until you're happy and you can put it out. So it's a great time really to get the creative process from A to release.
The interesting thing that you said there is because being with the persons that you're making music with for months on end, and usually in a small dome style, right? And then now we have the luxuries of Airbnbs, right? So you can get like rent a house and like have bedrooms, but back when you were making records, even a few years ago, right, you were renting hotels and two dudes in a room or something, three dudes. Sometimes in Wilson's case, it was like four dudes in a room, you know, back in the day. But when you get to that
same
spot,
with us, brother. Same with us.
Okay, so you know, you're like, oh my god, today was the worst day at the studio, and I have to go look at him all night long. Sucks. But like in this
and
case,
spoon, like you got to spoon each other. Spoon all night. What
and
are you talking about?
Like I don't want to just jab his fucking eyes out. But the difference is you can be done with the song and be like, all right, dudes, I'll see you when I see you. And then you leave longing for your brothers versus wishing that they didn't exist or something. I think it's probably also that venomous culture of us as musicians probably is helpful in that sort as well. You know,
totally. Yeah, it's very different. Remote versus being together is so different. We to be honest, like Art of Dying, we've never really gotten sick of each other on the road or in the studio yet. It sounds crazy, but we've always just fed off that, and our, I think our friendships have tightened when we're together on the road. So we've never been, but you're right. Like just seeing the same dudes every day. Like sometimes the back seat of the van is just not far enough from the front seat that day. You know, you just want a little time, or you know, the road. We'll be at a Flying J parking lot, and I'll be doing like yoga on the only grass spot that exists in that state.
Yeah, you're like, this is your dinner, solace, and entertainment. Flying J. Totally. That's all. We got 30 minutes. Get it in. Get back in the van and go.
So crushing a tall can in a brown bag outside the Flying J. It's like, we gotta go.
Let me ask both of you guys, is when as a band, artist, whatever, do you find it more, do you appreciate being in the studio together and creating an album, or are you guys okay with like being individual and just sending files back and forth? I mean, what's better for the process for you guys?
Yeah, man.
No, I'm going to let you take that because you're a guest, but I will say my little piece. I think there's a benefit to both, because when you're listening to outside influence, right, when your mind says B and they're like, no, A, but A, bud, and then you're listening to A and you're following suit and you're like, but I really want to try B. You never really get that moment sometimes, whether that's because of time constraints or just because like everybody in the room says your shit sucks, right? And their shit's better. It happens all the time. And then you move on and you hear the song has come back. I'm telling you, that bridge would have been way better this way or whatever, you know, where this, at least this version, you could have the time to, you know, record the guitar or the vocal and then send A, B and processes back to them. If you have the know-how in software, you know, I don't know. How about you, John?
Totally. Same thing. I mean, if you're in the studio, it's just more collaborative. There's more ideas come, get squished, come again, get squished, whatever. We've always come into the studio pretty prepared with stuff, but we've been blindsided too by, I remember a time with Band Death actually in Jersey where we were just struggling to feel fresh. So he just assigned us, everyone go into a room by yourself and everyone's job is to write a song top to bottom and best song wins and makes the record. Like it was crazy. So, and that song actually was Kale's in that little room, which was on Rise Up. That song is Something's Never Change. So it was a great song that came out of the clashing in the studio or of trying to get the energy flowing. So it's always different, right? How to get things to a level that you like.
Yeah, I always hear about like, there's a certain vibe to being in the studio and going through that. Obviously, you're dealing with personalities and egos. And like Chad said, you go, well, we all want A, but this guy wants B. And then it becomes like, well, I guess we lost him. Anyway, what I was saying with him is like, you know, three guys want one thing, the other guy wants another. It becomes like a clash of egos. And then there's the aha moment. I told you. So I'm sure that can add a little bit of the acrimony from time to time.
And the producer's role is pretty important in that scenario because he's he's the guy that's just going to come in and tell you all suck. This is terrible. Yeah,
he's the manager for that time period. He's definitely managing everything. Hey, let me ask you something real quick. So I'm going back through the catalog and I tend to forget that your third album in was an acoustic album, right?
Kind of, sort of,
but still a bold move at that. Still a young part of your career, right? You got two albums out and then you drop an acoustic album. Was that like, was this something that you just felt like that, you know, hey, this is cool. This is what our audience wants. This is what we want. Or was it basically like, hey, let's just go out on the edge here and see if we can do this.
We've always had that acoustic side to us. Every song starts on an acoustic. We love to tour stripping all the songs down just with an acoustic guitar. We did a tour with Scott Stapp where we were supporting his band and we just brought one guitar, four stools, one guitar. That was our setup. That was our show. And, you know, in theaters, and it was just fantastic. Like just four part harmonies and one guitar. So I think we've always wanted to get that across through an album. The album you're talking about was something we kind of snuck out in between Vices and Virtues and Rise Up. Mm-hmm. It was an album that we recorded live off the floor. And it was something that was very alive and real. And, you know, I've always been a fan of, back in the day, like, it was kind of the move that Guns N' Roses made when they put out Lies.
Yeah.
Because it was like, what's this? Like, here's this band with this huge rock record. And then next thing you know, they're putting out an acoustic record, it hit hard. I was like, oh, like the songs on there were just, it gave you another level to the band. Instead of hearing the follow-up, you're hearing deeper.
It's funny you mention that because we can refer to two bands and I don't know, I believe one might be an influence, but when you think about Nirvana and Alice in Chains, people almost automatically go to those acoustic albums.
Oh yeah.
The
acoustic albums, they speak to your soul. They speak deeper. I think the rock albums forever will be the party and will forever be the show and will ever be the memory of the concert and the outdoor concert and the ship rocks and everything. But when you're by yourself and like, I don't know about you guys, but most people I think listen to music by themselves. And when you're by yourself, listening to the music, nothing hits deeper than something acoustic and where the lyric just is there. You're just alone with the song.
Yeah, it's as much as big as rock fans and even metalheads, we still love to be soothed. So I think that definitely offers that nice little left turn for some people, for some fans. We all need a breather in life, right? So the acoustic stuff is the breather, whether it's on a long player or a full album. So yeah, thank you for answering.
I'm a huge fan of Damien Rice. I don't know if you guys know that guy.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like the original Ed Sheeran. Like he's like Ed Sheeran before Ed Sheeran, but he's whenever I'm feeling a little blue or a little whatever, if I need some soothing, the word you chose there, I love it. That's what I put on, just a Damien Rice album and just get into his head for a bit.
Hey, just real quick, I was reading you know, obviously when we prepare for these shows, I just get some bio stuff a little deeper than what we already know about you guys, how, you know, whether we've spoken passing or whatever, but when Draymond called you guys, what do you call it? You guys call Eagle and Chains, the Eagles and Chains, because of your three part, basically almost harmonies and three front men singing type of style from time to time.
That was the stadium tour we did with those guys. All the bands on the tour would walk by our dressing room or walk by our pre-show. And we'd always have an acoustic guitar practicing harmonies and warming up and even writing songs. And that's when, David's like, you guys sound like Eagles and Chains. You know, you're a mixture of the Eagles and Alice in Chains. And we thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, dude, because if you ever see the old vintage photo of like video of like the Eagles, they always do Seven Bridges Road in the dressing room before they go on stage. You know, it's like nice acoustic thing working, opens up the vocal cords. So pretty cool, man. Draymond's pretty smart guy.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So what are the plans then? I mean, obviously none of us have a crystal ball. Hey, Chad, are you back, bud? We lost you for a while. I don't know. He still might be. Let me check.
He's a mannequin for the moment, but that's cool.
He's a man. That's right. So obviously none of us have a crystal ball. You guys are working on and putting out songs. Any kind of talk about what you guys are going to do come the end of the year, maybe in 2022, as far as like, you know, again, we'll have to see where the world's at as far as going out on the road and supporting this stuff. But do you guys have anything special planned, like any live streaming or anything like that for people?
Nothing. We haven't really talked much about next year. I don't even think we've talked much about May this year.
Right.
We can't wait to play again. We can't wait to be on tour again. But for now, it's really given us this opportunity to record and release. So we're consistently flipping through old songs that never got on records, or, you know, and thinking, let's do that one. And I'm working on a bunch of stuff on the side as well, which has been a lot of fun too. I'm working on, I'm actually putting out a song of my own in April. So that's coming out, I think, April 2nd. And I worked on a crazy art project over the last couple of years with an artist in New York. And, you know, long story, I don't want to spoil it, but it's the project has me singing in Latin. I basically went to this guy's brilliant artist in New York, Stefano Losi, and experienced his art in person. He's a sculptor and a poet, and he writes, he's an Italian guy, writes in Latin, and basically sat in his New York apartment for 5 days with a piano and just wrote songs from nothing, just with melody and using his Latin poetry. So I had to learn the Latin words phonetically, because obviously I don't speak Latin. Mm-hmm. But it's been such a fun project. So that might be one of my first outings post-COVID. Might be doing a live performance in New York when he launches his art to the public. So that's kind of going to be something I'm looking forward to as well.
Is your music then, and what you're singing, is it basically something that's going to coexist with his artwork? Is that what it is?
Yeah. So hopefully the plan is, I'll be able to go perform the work live at his opening. And then for the following months that you want to visit his gallery and see the works, there'll be an audio recording playing of the songs.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Well, that is it, Latin, the dead language. Not so much anymore. Yeah. Way to bring it back. You're bringing it back. There you go. Hey, Chatty, with us, bud. Man, he's having some trouble right now with his connectivity there. So real quick, I mean, you just mentioned solo work in April. What can you tell some folks without giving too much away? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't mind at all. It's it's something I've been writing with a longtime co-writer and friend, Davor Vuillamah. He actually produced the Armageddon record. So we've been co-conspirators forever. Back from, we wrote Sorry, the ballad on Vices and Virtues together. And he just helped us so much in our early days getting our music together for records. So he always jokes around with me, like, you know, his version of Die Trying and Howard Benson's version of Die Trying aren't too far off. You know, he's like kind of pissed still about that. He's like, yeah, you probably should have just released my version.
Right.
So he and I have been working on some songs that just were not Art of Dying. It was just very much more from a different kind of musical perspective. So that's what I'm doing. April 2nd, it's my name. It's just Hetherington is the name of the artist. Okay. Hey, that's me. And the song's called Good Old Times. And it's, you know, it's very, I think a lot of people that are writers and artists right now are taking this time, and it's really hitting people in the heart. And this song kind of came from our experience in COVID and just feeling lonely and missing the past and hoping for a better future.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously one of the things that I know Chad had a lot of stuff for you too. So we'll keep moving forward there. Let me ask you real quick, when you guys are in a band like that and people branch out and they do other things, there's some bands that are like big into promoting that the people in the bands that go out and do stuff because it helps obviously create a much larger, what word am I looking for? I guess what I'm asking is, like, is it one of those things where band members can go to each other and push each other to go do some stuff, go explore, go do those things? Or, because there's some camps that like to kind of keep it in tight.
Yeah, absolutely. there's we've always had that leeway with each other, you know. Tavis plays in Adelie's Way as well as Art of Dying for the last couple of years, which is, you know, we support him in that and we love those guys too. So just feels like a good thing. And he really, those guys play live still all the time, even through the pandemic, they've been doing a lot of shows. So it's really important for Tavis to play live like that. And so it's great. And, Kale is in Santa Sonia with his cousin, Adam Gontier. So it's like all these things, you know, sometimes it's like, oh man, my band, you know, I want to keep it all tight and wrapped up and don't want, you know, but then you quickly come around and say, fuck that. I mean, it's go, do, be, exist, create, have fun, you know, and that's what's kept us together for like, I don't know how long it's been, like 12 years or something that we've been, the three of us have been a part of the band. We lost Jeffy along the way and we lost Greg along the way, but it's been a long haul. And I think that the freedom of just being open with each other and honest and supportive of each other is the main thing.
Yeah. The idea of a creative community, obviously everyone comes back stronger too, because they've been playing and coming up with new ideas that maybe that band that they're playing with isn't going to use, but hey, you know, it's be perfect for Art of Dying. So yeah, it's exciting.
Totally.
Let me ask you a question 101. Who turned you on to music, man? How old were you? And what did you first hear that went, that's what I'm going to do with myself?
Yeah, my dad and my mom, you know, they both very musical. We had a piano in the house growing up. My dad is a brilliant singer. And, you know, that I think it was just in me as I know it is now that I have a daughter and she's almost six. And she's a, like, get ready, people, because she is an opera singer at 5 and a half. She's learning full French and German operas right now, and it's out of sight. So I couldn't be prouder. But when I look at her, I lost my dad the year she was born. So I lost my dad 5 years ago, and I've had my daughter for 5 years. And it's almost like his voice came to her through me, you know, how it is, heredity and how these things work. But for now, I really see the proof, you know, that like, this is, the music's just in you, you know, sometimes. It doesn't always have to be, but in this case, yeah. So I remember from an early age, just being musical, listening to my dad, hearing my mom play piano, sing-alongs, family sing-alongs, you know, and before you knew it, I was like the lead character in musicals at 7 years old on the stage, you know, for the school thing. And next thing you know, I was doing in choirs and doing more musicals and just being, experiencing that life of being on the stage and not being fearful of that. And I never was. It was just like, love the attention, right? It was just like, get out there and woo.
What was it like? What was the reaction the first time you brought home the first album and said, look, mom and dad, this is what I'm doing. Look what I worked on. Look what I made. What was the reaction?
Yeah. You know, they bought me my first guitar. So they were
what
like,
was it? What would you buy?
I would do this. It was a Vantage.
What's a Vantage? What is that?
It was like a red, beautiful $200 Vantage from the local music shop.
Okay. Yeah.
And I loved it. I put the heaviest strings I could find on it and tuned it down to drop D right away.
Yeah.
Cause I couldn't play. I was all self-taught. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. And, you know, I was probably around 13, 14, 15, you know, teenage years. And met some guys not too far after that, put together a little band we were in Red Deer, Alberta. So put together a band called Disappearing Phil, which was my very first, I guess. Well, sorry, I got to go back. There was a band before that called Lost Cause. That was my first band. So I guess I should have known Lost Cause. And it was K-A-U-Z, you know, it was like Lost Cause.
Of course, because at some point there's been about 1,000 Lost Cause. That's everyone's first band is that band called that. So you have to come up with something different.
Awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. We had so much fun. But that was like, you know, we were playing covers at the school dance and stuff like that. So, but the first album was a three-song cassette that I brought home. And yeah, I think my family is very proud. And still to this day, you know, like I'll just make my mom a mixed CD, especially when my dad was alive. I'd just make them a mixed CD of all the songs I've been working on that year. And I would just bring it home at Christmas and leave it in their CD player, and they'd get to know the music. And now, when I'm writing, I'll send stuff to my mom right away and just work through some of the lyrics with her. I wrote a song the other day that's really, it's a complex story about a mother who gives birth, and then that girl grows up to be a mother as well. And that mother takes her daughter on the road, and that girl grows up to become a singer. And it's this whole thing. So I had to call my mom and say, extend to the lyrics and say, like, can you walk through this timeline with me? Cause I don't know if this is working. Like we need to make this.
So all of this complex story is within the scope of a 4 or 5 minute song.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, sounds like a concept album.
So I know, right.
So it's funny you mentioned your father, and then you know not being having a chance to hear your daughter's talents. Obviously, it goes back to what we talked about, but spirits. Obviously, she's a conduit for, you know, she's a conduit for his talent, and so she's bringing out. So that's fantastic. So, and I'll tell you what, tackling opera, that's a whole other level. So good for her.
When we're ready, I'm gonna launch a little bit out there and just let the people. Let the people decide, but it's crazy, man. I can't believe the capacity that she can sing at age 5. I was not expecting that.
I know, and lungs are still forming. Everything's still forming. It's crazy.
Totally. I was asking her teacher, I was saying, you know, I've noticed she's taking breaths at weird times. Like, should I be working with her on, you know, how to do a longer breath? And she's like, don't forget, she's got 5-year-old lungs. Like, leave that for a little later. They're, I'm like, oh,
very
yeah.
Very pliable. So it's let's great. Talk about something. I want to pivot from something from all of this. And let's talk about what you do with your culinary, as I mentioned, your culinary skills as part of the Hetherington and essentials there with the sauces. What I got to ask, where does it all start? Where did that start? So you basically have the hot sauce, barbecue sauce, and ketchups.
So I know you're trying to pivot, but it all comes back to my daughter. When my wife got pregnant, we started eating better. You know, we started looking for organic foods, and we started reading labels and looking at sauce, like regular hot sauce that we had in our fridge. And there's like orange number 5 in it and just junk and xanthan gum and all these weird things that we were like, we were very, you know, we were uneducated at the time. And we just said, you know what? My wife said to me, you're a great cook. Why don't you just make us some hot sauce? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to. And I just went to the store and bought a bunch of habaneros because that's my favorite pepper. My brother's into hot sauce. So he got me into habaneros. And boom, we loved it. You know, it's the classic story where we loved it and we passed it around to some friends at Christmas time and they all loved it. And, you know, everyone always chirps up and says, you should bottle this stuff, man. This is great. And we're like, well, let's do it. So we were at that time, we were actually signed with Warner Brothers and Cheryl Valentine, our radio rep out there. She said, you know what? You got to get this stuff out to some radio stations. So I spent like all of November or whatever it was, making these batches of sauce at home. In one hand, I was drinking, emptying Grolsch bottles. and you know, as soon as they were done, it was like, fill it with hot sauce, cap on. Okay, empty another one. Go. Fill, cap on. Okay. And then I was shipping them to Cheryl in LA, and then she was sending them out to radio stations. And then that caught fire again, and people were saying the same thing. So we didn't have any bad reviews, so I figured let's launch it. And we launched a Kickstarter, got a ton of support from the music community, which was amazing. That we couldn't have done it without that. So thank you everyone for getting in there on the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And then we quickly, you know, the learning curve, once we were there, it was like, okay, our daughter, she's one, she loves ketchup. Ketchup's gross. Let's make ketchup. That's good. You know, that's healthy. So we did that. And then we went into barbecue sauce with the same mentality, and just keeps rolling, you know, and now we're in like 200 or 300 stores in Western Canada, and, you know, distribution. And it's like, we know more about the grocery business now than the record business.
It's so amazing though, when you hear your story. There's several artists we can talk about here momentarily that have gotten into this, and it's become just this thing. I, as a fan of music, I mean, at some point you get past the whole, I love t-shirts, I love that stuff, but at some point you go, I really want to support this band, but what's different? I don't need a bottle opener. But when I start seeing, like, they start getting into like things like this, or even like wines or whatever, I'm like, I'll buy that, because I'm of that age and I'd like to try this. I'm still supporting the band, not in your usual, you know, your usual wearing a t-shirt, but I think it's such a great opportunity to already work with your existing fan base. And then you start working, when you start getting into the sauce world, I mean, I watched enough I'm a big fan of watching all those Hot Peppers shows, because I just love seeing
Hot Ones, that's paint. A good one.
Yeah, all that stuff. And I think it's so amazing, because now you're reaching this entirely vast audience that almost dwarfs some music audiences as far as like people's interest, because you got old, young, doesn't matter who. You don't have to be a metalhead to like what you're doing. You can just be into foods. So it's really interesting. Totally. But yeah, congratulations on that. So it was funny, we've been kicking around the idea of at some point, because we had Bumblefoot on not too long ago, and then Brandon from Crowbot, and they also as well have sauces. They have hot sauces. So I thought at some point it'd be great if we all got all of you guys together, maybe some other people, and just did some tastings on like a live stream. I think it'd be so fun.
That would be great.
Yeah. That'd be great. So it's really interesting though, because, you know, we always think about it ourselves, I'm sure artists all the time, like, what am I going to do in my music career? It's just kind of like, you know, I'm not on the road anymore. I'm just doing the same. Now, obviously you have a pathway, not that you won't ever stop music. Music will always be a very large part of what you do. But I mean, just to have this other thing, which is, I'm always amazed too, Johnny, is when artists have, being an artist itself as a musician is time consuming. And just so many hours in a day. Now going into what you're doing, working with your branding, working with stores, working with retail, working with everything from returns to shelf space. Oh, I can only imagine.
It's a bit nuts, but for some reason, you know, I have a great partner in my wife, and she's a go-getter, you know? So it's great to, we fire each other up and keep each other rolling. Sometimes we look at each other like, are we going to take another thing on? Like, what, are we crazy? Keep doing it until what doesn't kill you, you know? What doesn't kill you?
Yeah. Well, listen, we usually do this thing about this time. We do a thing called Walk the Plank.
Walk the Plank.
And Walk the Plank is three random questions. I have one and Chad has one. And then we usually get one from a fan before the show. And it's just random questions about anything, usually not even pertaining to music. We just love to hear your answer on what the question is. So I'm going to give you mine first. And then Chad sent me his because he knew he wouldn't be able to get back on tonight. So let me ask you. This is mine. And what activity would you like a lesson from an expert?
Ooh, I was just thinking about this the other day. Well, in the really boring scope, I suck on, at the beginning of this call, we were talking a bit about like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. But what I really suck at is all this computer stuff that you're supposed to know, like simple stuff like Excel and Word docs. And I'm just terrible. I'll send you a picture of my desktop. It's an art project. I need an assistant. So I need an organization. Barring that, I need a professional lesson in organization, I think.
Like not a feng shui thing, just basically like a minimal, you know, the whole minimalism movement always fascinates me. The idea of like getting rid of everything that you haven't used in a certain amount of time. But I'm like, most people are like, God, I might need this at one point in my life. So
I think I'm just more like a butterfly, you know, flying over there. Don't worry about that anymore. I'm over here now.
So basically, you just need someone to organize your stuff. And then once it's organized, do you think you can stay on top of it, or that person need to be stay fully employed for you?
Fully employed forever.
Okay. Yeah, let them do the Excel spreadsheet. Chad's question is this. He goes, Chad asks, what does he got here? He goes, oh, what would you like to find at a yard sale?
So right at the beginning of COVID, we took possession of a beautiful cabin out in on the Pacific Ocean here on the coast. And so now I'm actually looking all the time for cabin-y stuff. So I need, right now I need another oven, like a wood burning oven. So I'm keeping my eyes peeled on the side of the road for like wood burning ovens and fireplace tools and like spark screens and shit like that.
Isn't it great adulting? All right. This is a question from one of our ship rocks. Is science or art more essential to humanity?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I mean,
it's massive.
I don't know if there is an answer to that. I think science is such a force in our realm of knowledge. I mean, it wasn't so long ago we thought the world was flat, and you know, science takes us from today to tomorrow every single day. And the great thing about science is we can calculate it, we can prove it, it's carbon, you know what I mean? But art is the opposite. It's the elusive world. It's the things that you cannot touch. And, you know, we're talking about the spirit at the beginning about how maybe there's a spirit in the room when we wrote that song. And that's not so weird, because guess what? Music is probably the biggest spirit we have around us. And you can't explain it. You can't do anything but feel it. It's an emotion. So my answer is art.
All right. Very good. Yeah. Well played. That's right. No one wants to get up just thinking about science all the time. I want to get up and think about Led Zeppelin.
Oh, did you want one word answers?
No, absolutely not. No, I swear it's free form. It's free form. So anyway, so listen, if you don't mind, could you give everyone out there, where can they go to get your sauces and all the things you're working on with your wife? And then also, where can fans go if they still want to pick up some swag from you guys or records or just check out what's going on?
I don't know.
Really?
Well, people ask me that all the time, and I don't know. So I say this, type in Art of Dying into your search engine, and you will find the newest music eventually. And if you type in Johnny Hetherington, I guarantee you'll find the sauce too. But I'm going to Google.
Yeah, the essentials is going to be the first thing, actually, is the search engine optimization on that is Johnny's Essentials comes up. So if you want to get his sauces, try them out, order them, or find out where they are in your location, you can probably go pick some up. And also Art of Dying is artofdyingmusic.com.
Thank you. I did know that.
No, so listen, man, much congratulations on everything that's going on in your life with your family, your business, and also obviously the band and your music. Good luck on the new solo project coming out here in April, and also your art exhibit project. That'll be a lot of fun. If you guys want to check out some of the newest music, I guess you can always just go to Spotify, but check out Vices and Virtues, folks. It's a fantastic rock single, and it'll probably be in your continuous play for the rest of the spring.
Suggestion too. That would be my number one destination for anyone out there, is go to Spotify. Cause we're sneaking music out all the time quietly. Yep. We put out earlier last year, we put out a demos and rarities record. That's 12 songs that, you know, we just snuck it out. We didn't really, you know, Greg and I went on and did some talks, some live streams about it. But other than that, we just snuck an entire record out. So I think Spotify is the best place to be for that stuff.
Absolutely. So, guys, so obviously right there, you can go pick up the new single and then check out Demos and Rarities. It's also available on Spotify. Follow Johnny on Twitter and at Facebook, and you can always catch up with what he's doing and what he's out there hopefully promoting. Guys, real quick before we leave here, we're going to do a few little things of housekeeping. Again, sorry that we lost Chad there, that technology is sometimes a wondrous thing and sometimes it'll just sting you right in the ass. So anyway, we'll catch him next week. But listen, guys, we are still going with Shiprock 2022. Cabins are still available. So please go to shiprock.com. You guys can go there and either purchase a cabin or find someone who's looking to expand upon people they have in their cabins now. So go look for a cabin mate. You can also find all the latest Shiprock swag there at shiprock.com. And as we always say, there's a few of the Fuck 2020 shirts still available. Listen, guys, thank you for checking out this. Johnny, we can't thank you enough, brother.
Love you guys, as always. Yeah. And
hey, before we leave, we want to thank, obviously, our show producer, Al McManus, the show engineer, Jennifer Zito, our show coordinator, Heather Smith, and then the captain, Alan Koenig. So thank you, guys. Making Waves, we are part of the STM podcast family. Find us anywhere you get podcasts, and please subscribe. So until next time, thank you. And again, Johnny, thank you once again, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. Pleasure, man. Right. Do it again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.